Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, everybody. We are back talking crazy ex-girlfriend here at AfterBuzz TV. In this episode, Paula is so freaked out about her bar exam. Rebecca can't seem to stay awake, and all of these Three Musketeer guys are just not getting along. We're going to talk all about it in just a second.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Sunday. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We have 5 more episodes left, guys.
It's quick.
And Rachel just dropped on her Twitter that we're not going to have another episode for a month.
We have
March 8th.
A whole month off for them to recover. Maybe we'll get into the live taping. Not live taping, but the taping before their final.
Is there a specific reason, or we just don't know why there's a month break?
I don't know why there's a month break, is but she tweeted out that they will be back in March. So I'm guessing probably awards. Yeah. They don't want to compete or deal with that. I don't know.
I'm thinking it's a programming thing, too, because if they only have 5 left, if CW said we have to stop you on April 5th and they only have 5 left, there's no choice but to stop for like a month.
It is funny because they kept alluding, though, like when we came back from break, about Valentine's Day being the last episode, and now they're going on break right before Valentine's Day.
Oh, there you go.
That's the thing. That's why I thought it was interesting. I thought originally Valentine's Day would be the last episode, but then we heard it was April, and I wondered how they would stretch it to April, and now I guess we know.
Makes sense. Yeah.
A month break.
They have a month break, guys.
But before we get into all of it, hey, guys, I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I am joined by the amazing Nino Lanera. You can catch him right here on our after show. You can also catch him on X on the Beach on Thursday night.
Hey, thank you for the promo, Bri.
And on the beach. I've seen him on the beach.
Yes. You can see a pretty tan. I'm there all the time. I live right by there. Yes, thank you, Bri.
And then next to Nino, we have the amazing, literally on any show you can think of, pretty much everything from Supergirl to The Gifted to Informer to Roswell. It is Tehran.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm also much better than Nino.
Thank you. Okay.
That's
perfect.
The thing. You're a little more tan. But
I'm a little bit more
matter.
Tan. It's okay. We're back.
I'm not tan at all.
I know. We both looked at you and we're like, awkward silence. Awkward silence.
But what were your guys' overall thoughts on this episode?
You want to go first? You want?
Okay. First of all, I'm very upset about the month break, and I'll tell you why. The last two episodes were the episodes, remember when I was complaining and I was, why are these episodes happening? Uh-huh. These are the episodes that I want to happen.
Yeah.
These are the types of episodes that I've been missing. They're fun, they're funny, and they actually push along the storyline. So I'm actually a little annoyed that right now, as we're getting this momentum, there's a huge break and gap. Because I really liked this episode. It was funny. Maybe I related to it a little more than the average person because of the bar exam. I know how that feels. It does only happen twice a year in July and February. And I'm like, man, I remember trying to get ready to take and people distract. If anything happened, I'd go crazy too. So it's just, I thought it was, and the songs were actually, I didn't like the songs as much as I'm Not Sad, You're Sad.
Of course.
However,
I don't think you will ever like any song as much as
possibly. That's his anthem for 2019.
possibly my favorite song. But these songs were funny. They were entertaining. And they were good. They're just good. Everything about the episodes are good now, and I want more.
Yeah, 100% agree. This is the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that I remember coming into when we first started the show. Like, you know, this, like, especially with a big production. Like, when I look at the stills from the La La Land-esque opening performance or whatnot, that's what I remember from when we first saw them in the West Covina Plaza when she was coming down from a pretzel. So seeing that and seeing how much they put into that, like, this is the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that I remember. It also brought me back to, like, really looking at the people behind them and the characters and just the diversity within the casting that they do every year. It reminds me so much that this was such a big staple in TV for diversity, because we have a Filipino male leading character. We saw Filipino Thanksgiving. We see so many different shades of colors and cultures within their casting, and this just totally reminded me of why.
I love that. Filipino Lives Matter.
Me and Marissa, right? And then you just, all right.
Okay. One at a time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. I really did enjoy this episode, and I know, like, we've been I don't think we have to restate it. We've been saying it every single episode, I feel like, this season, except for maybe one or two episodes. And so, yeah, it is a little bit of a shock to be like, oh, and now we have to take a break. Mm-hmm. Especially because we had a break right before Christmas.
Yeah.
But I guess if, I don't know if it's the network saying we want to wait and prolong this or what's going on.
Yeah, definitely some programming stuff there.
But, and even like, one of my favorite songs, I think, in the show of all time is the movie song with Josh Groban, the end mm-hmm. of the movie. And so I love getting the reprise of that in here too, right. Especially because I can actually listen to that one because Josh Groban, I think there's some, I don't know all of the like legal terms, but for whatever reason, that song isn't available. You can't have it.
Oh, you can't download it off iTunes. It's not playing on their,
You can watch it on YouTube, okay. But you can't have it on Spotify, iTunes, anything like that.
Interesting.
I think it's because of some deal he has with recording and stuff. So now I'm like, I can have a song that is like that I can mm-hmm. listen to. Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode as well. But let's just get right into it then. So we kind of talked about Paula in this bar exam. Mm-hmm. She is getting checked out, but cannot get checked out until the actual day of the bar exam. And she's so nervous about not making it.
Heck yeah. What? I would be too. I mean, like, exactly what we were talking about at the beginning. Like, if you only have two chances and you've been working your ass off for how long just to try to do that's almost like taking the NCLEX.
I want
to
add this. No, because people don't realize the bar exam really has nothing to do with law school. So you finish law school, mm-hmm. and then you have to prepare specifically for the bar exam. California has the most difficult, if not top three by far, but the most difficult unanimously bar. And it used to be 3 days. Now it's 2 days. And which is funny how she said it was only 6 hours, but mm-hmm. it's 2 days. And it's so difficult because you have to study for it individually.
Well, maybe it is still 2 days, but she second
just did
day
this one day. Yeah, she's going to be free. So it's if anything stopped, I would have walked with a broken leg bleeding just to get there and take this test. I'm prepped now. I'm ready now.
Yeah.
And it's just honestly, I related to it so much.
And I
so
love real. That they made that a mission for her to bust out.
Well, and I like that they brought up both points because they brought up the side where they're like, maybe you should just stay. You know, there'll be another chance. You just got healthier. Mm. So I like that they brought that up, and then they brought it up with her saying, as of right now, I know that at any moment I could die.
I'm so
and
prepared.
I don't want to have not any so regrets. Real. And so,
and that's another thing I think that was like that was just a central theme for a lot of this, especially with Rebecca trying to figure out what her dream is or whatnot, and seeing that, you know, this was Paula's dream, and just really, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen to you the next hour, the next minute, the next day. And if you have something that you really want to do, you just really got to go for it. I mean, that's why a lot of us are here right now and doing what we really love to do, because, you know, we don't know what's next. We just got to go for it. You got to go for it when you can go for it, basically.
Yeah. And this kind of like flows into Rebecca, as you said, she doesn't really know what her dream is.
Mm.
We all assumed it was Rebetzel's, but it's not, apparently. That's just something she's doing.
I never thought it was Rebetzel's because she kind of just, she wanted out of being a lawyer. She didn't want in.
She wanted out, but they made it, the connection with the pretzels throughout the years and just like the way it all happened, they did kind of make it seem, which is why I think they brought it up as, in
the
that conversation
with the t-shirt,
well, and like having
take a
him
bite
be like
out of my dream,
well, and having him be like I'm happy to step in and lead your dream when I need to, and she's like, this isn't my dream. I think they had to do that because of the way they brought it in. I think a lot of people assumed, oh, this is, she's finally doing something that she enjoys doing.
That's it. I never got that feel. I thought she just wanted a way out of the legal profession, and this was a very convenient, good way. She's owning her business, she's her own boss. I thought it meant more about her freedom and her not being under the thumb of the man, more so than I want to make pretzels. They're my dream in life, which that's how I had already.
Well, I mean, apparently that is the truth.
Yeah.
So you were ahead of the curve right there.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. I don't think pretzels were her exact dream, but just being her own boss, taking things into her own hands and not having to deal with what her mom always wanted her to be.
Yeah, right? Like the pressure of the mom, the checklist of I'm living a good life, because she wasn't. And we do see a much happier Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what it leads to, and I'm sure we're going to get to it in the morgue section or whatnot. Like, it makes so much sense that that could be her dream.
Well, so Rebecca is kind of also dealing with being on these antidepressants that she's not been on before, which she's having this side effect of making her extremely tired. And she's trying to, like, stay awake. She's also coupled with this kind of fear and anxiety of being shamed by society for taking these.
Right.
And we'll get into our song segment later where we'll discuss each of our songs that we had this episode in more depth. But she meets with Dr. Copian and learns that she's not alone.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to deal with this big escape plan for Paula that Rebecca just can't stay awake during.
Yeah, I thought they were going to put it in her freezer when she falls
asleep. I mean, the morgue is kind of a freezer.
Well, I mean, you're lucky they didn't try to incinerate her. And they could have cremated her. I really like once we bring this up often where the show deals with things we don't talk about. Side effects of antidepressant medicines, mm-hmm. being tired, something so normal we never talk about. Her being ashamed to take the medicine in the first place, something that's a real conversation a lot of people don't discuss. And she says, I felt ashamed because how come I'm not strong enough to just kick it on my own? And that's something we need to discuss. Mm-hmm. That was so strong, and such a poignant, profound social commentary statement.
And Rachel Bloom actually posted on her Twitter that is exactly how she felt before she took antidepressants, because she is on antidepressants. Mm-hmm. So she was like, that's exactly...
Of course she is. Her show's getting... I would be too. No,
but that came from a very personal connection. And that
was it was so real, yeah. And I appreciated it very much simply because it is part of a discussion we never mm-hmm. or rarely ever bring up.
Well, and I think that there are people in the world that do have that thought process. That's just, why can't you do it on your own? Like, why can't you just change your mental state, which is easier said than done.
Especially when you're not going through it. I'm probably guilty of thinking that about someone. Why can't you just get dust yourself off, get back up? But it's a real mental disorder, and it's mm-hmm. challenging, and we need to think of it like that. And that's why when it brought it to light, I was like, wow, that's actually a huge thing that I've never seen someone say, especially in a comedy. Let's remember, because this is a comedy, it's like a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier. However, we don't see a lot of comedies dealing with these mm-hmm. things. And no one wants to deal with drama.
Or if they're dealing with it, they're making fun of it.
Exactly. Right. They're mocking it, and they're not. And that's actually, it's brilliant.
But it's like, it's so nice for them to normalize the situation and, you know, and saying that some people can deal with it by themselves. And if you can't, there's help. And there's different types of help because they named the different type of off-brand medicines because obviously we can't use the real.
It was so good.
You know what I mean? Plus, it's their last season. They're not trying to get sued. It's so great that they show that there are options to this, you know, to it all. And lowering your dosage, we talked about that last week, if it doesn't work out for you. I'm pretty sure because she's so sleepy, they might have to switch up her dosage once she goes back to Dr. Okopian after the week or the month for us. You know what I mean?
But moving into the morgue, so she's stuck in this morgue. They find out that she's down there, but she's dealing with this whole overwhelming sense of, like, I could die at any point, just like Paula was.
Yeah.
And what is my dream?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Really quick. It was so specific. Oh, yeah, let me find her phone. Oh, she's in the basement of the hospital. I mean, a phone app could be that specific to know where people are.
I'm like, my find your phone just kind of, like, puts a general little dot. And right. It doesn't tell me what floor.
So specific.
I need that find your phone part because I need it to be that specific.
Right. For the last person who stole my phone when it was in my bag at the gym one time, I wish I had that app. Still mad.
Man, you can have your freaking phone back, bro. Why are you so weird about it? I told you.
Appreciate it, bro.
That was just so annoying. You waited for this show to bring that up again?
But she kind of, through random different clues, kind of finds out that maybe her dream is starting to do community theater.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make a lot of sense, given the character, given the concept. We watched the show. And when that happened, I automatically, when she saw the post, I automatically assumed, oh, she has to do this. And remember when she went to the audition with her little half-brother?
She was such a stage
mom.
She was so ready, into it.
Well, and the beginning of the show with her being on stage and, like, loving that feeling.
Loving it.
It makes sense. The only thing that I'm, like, kind of, how are they going to do it, is because of the little brother episode where they made it seem like she couldn't sing.
I forgot.
They may seem like anytime that we're hearing her, it's in her head, so she can sing, but then they did that playoff thing where she's trying to sing with him and she's off key the entire time.
Well, maybe that's actually part of it.
Maybe she's going to take some singing lessons.
That's a good prediction way to go, is just the concept is she tries out for her dream.
Yeah.
And she realized just having a dream is not enough to achieve a dream.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that.
I like that.
Oh. Let me write that down.
And
just
she also
a dream was not okay.
But I was glad that it kind of coincided with Paula, because we've been, I think, talking a lot about how Paula and Rebecca haven't had a lot to do with each other these past
episodes. That was really nice.
And I really enjoyed them bringing them together in this and, like, their dreams paralleling each other, especially since Rebecca's old dream was lawyer, and now that's Paula's dream. And she got to see someone enjoying something that she never could enjoy.
Mm-hmm. But she never enjoyed it. I don't know if it was ever her
That's why I said dream with quotes for the listeners. Because it's like what she thought her dream was, but it's because it was pushed on her for so long.
And we see a lot of people in that situation where they become doctors or dentists or whatever it is to please everyone around them. Mm-hmm. But secretly they have another interest, which is actually why dentists have the highest suicide rate or whatever.
Is that for real?
Yeah, that's a real thing. Wow, okay. So it's a lot of people who are unmotivated about their jobs.
Yeah, and I have a lot of friends who went into careers that it was for the parents, it was for the other people rooting for them around them or whatnot. But I feel like for people, like especially with this show, you could really, and you see the career changes Rebecca goes through and things like that, you could really take life into your own hands and take responsibility for what you want. And put yourself in a position where you can go after that dream.
Okay. And that's who we are. And before we move on to the next topic, I just want to talk to the listeners and let them know, thank you so much for allowing us to be the ESPN of TV Talk, because we love being here and talking to you about these shows and doing these after shows. But we do need your help. What we need is for you to comment, rate, share, subscribe, tell your friends to tell their friends, especially if you're on iTunes or YouTube. Go ahead, share it around. And also realize we have a lot of after shows for any show that you like. We have an after show for it right here.
He's probably on it.
I'm probably hosting her on the panel. So thank you so much, each and every one of you, for being here with us each and every week. You are as much a part of a panel as we are, and we appreciate you for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Hey, yes, you guys. Go. Thank you so much for allowing us to come in here every single week, talk to you guys, talk to each other, and just get to really deep dive into television and kind of have different takes on things.
Yeah, which is good. Different takes is always great. When you talk to people and you have a panel like this, you could always realize something else that you probably never thought about from the episode, from a different perspective.
And I know a bunch of you have been leaving comments in our videos. I went through this week and tried to reply to most of you. And thank you guys so much. I love hearing from you. I love getting your feedback as well. You are our fourth co-host on this panel.
Oh, there you go.
So moving on, we got a little different set of Daryl.
Yeah.
This episode, which we haven't had a lot of him too. That was one of my complaints in past, where there might be a new love interest.
Right.
100%. This is the one.
This is the one?
Bean Dip? Come on. Bean Dip? Who else has Bean Dip?
Bean Dip, preteen daughters.
Okay.
Right. Quirky, weird antics that they have.
I think the most adorable thing, though, was him going and even his daughter being like, Paula's getting released. Like, we can just see her at home. It's like, he wanted to see her so bad that he was making excuses to be at the
You want to know what's really interesting about that? So one of the telltale signs of psychopathy is if a psychopath met someone and they want to see them again, they would murder someone so they can see them at the funeral.
Lord. Knowing,
like, that's a concept. That's a conceptualized version of something that could happen. And so it was like Daryl was happy that Paula was sick so he could see her again.
So sad, but so cute, right?
And I also, if you remember a couple after shows ago, maybe four or five, I had brought up the fact that when we see him, we see Daryl, it's always one side of his bisexuality, which was
the male
side. And I was wondering, well, I hate when that happens, is because bisexuality is a form of...
Well, a lot of people think it's like... bisexualness is a stepping stone on the way to just being gay.
Exactly. And then now they're portraying the other side where he's also attracted to women. And if he finds a woman attractive, he finds her attractive. And I really like that. He just happens to be a person who happens to be bisexual.
You know what's funny? I feel like they almost forgot that about his personality. They always wanted to bring it back to another guy because they found it probably interesting. The ratings found it interesting and people liked that situation or whatnot. And then they just decided to keep on going with it. But then it plays off Wijo, right? Wijo and whoever else. But then it plays off to the fact that we're not really exploring his sexuality, that, you know, where it was such a big episode.
That was presented.
Yeah.
Or just don't present it.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that they're showing the dichotomy and the differences. And he's still the same person who happens to now be attracted to a female.
And to find the perfect match that he did.
Yeah, we really like her.
And there were so many callbacks in this episode. And one of them being that he's here to see Paula. And he's like, she's my best friend, but I'm not her. It's like, it's a big story. And this girl just got it. She's
just got it. Just, right. I'm one of the best friends.
And he said that, you know, there's people in life that you meet and you go on dates with, and it's like a struggle to get through the date, and maybe a few dates in, maybe you can make something work. But then there's those other people that you meet right away. It's just instantaneously easy. Right.
And then you get bored with them later. But yeah, that's, I love that.
True love story right there.
So sweet, Daryl.
What? It happens.
It's a rom-com in the making, guys.
I don't feel like Daryl will ever get bored with anybody. I feel like people get bored with Daryl, but he always will stay.
He always finds a positive in any sort of situation. So,
let's be real. This match. Okay, are we shipping this? I really enjoy this.
Oh, I'm 100% enjoying this. I want her to be back.
I mean, obviously, they made fun of back episodes ago where they did the group mind collective says you guys are in love. So they made fun of the fact that the fans want Daryl and YJ together. And I don't think they're going to give us that. I don't think they're going to end with them together.
I don't think so either. I think that's probably, that's
kind of done. Yeah. I don't even want them together anymore.
Me either.
I actually like single YJ.
But I think that, you know, YJ has, he's not single though. He's dating that guy at the gym.
But
I think that they wanted to give Daryl someone. So whether or not we like her or not, I think she is going to be his person when this ends. I don't know how far into the relationship that'll be.
Go peep on IMDb and see how many episodes she's done, if she did more than one.
No, don't cheat. Just watch the show.
Don't be
that person. No one likes that person.
You're only allowed to do that if you're reaching out to bring her in as a guest.
Exactly.
Want to see if she's in an episode.
I guess that's what
we're going to do, is make sure we have some amazing guests for the rest of our
last five
show,
episodes.
Too. We have a month to get it done.
We have a month, and they're not taping anymore, which we'll hold a little bit more in that for our news and gossip section later. But so we can get some people
in. Hey guys, answer my DMs, guys.
I like the daughters getting along and setting them up in that whole thing, because that's another subject a lot of people don't broach. What if you have children and your kids don't like each other? That's a real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Daryl sits there and goes, "You and the baby come first.
Mm-hmm.
You and Rebecca."
Because he's a good dad.
Yeah. Because he's a good dad. And even though it pained him, he put them first. And that realization allowed for his daughter to be like, hey, I'm going to be mature and we're going to figure this out.
It's such a sweet moment, you know, to have captured that or whatnot. Just her fake sleeping and listening to the whole situation and really wanting to fix it.
And also how much she's grown since that first season.
Right.
Like, she was so little.
Well, it's been 5 years. And that's what happens with kids.
We're going to talk about
4 years.
4 years, but still.
No. From the time that they started filming until now, we got 4 seasons, but it's been like 5 years.
Can we talk about Cough Boy?
Let's get into it.
Don't ever call him Cough Boy. That's my son. And I don't care what you say. That was A, me as a kid, and B, that's my child.
Well, the way that the daughters get Daryl and this girl to be able to spend some time together is to have this boy who has a very rare squirrel flu. That doesn't seem to be that rare. There was a lot of kids in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Cough on them. That also coughs on Nathaniel, Greg, and Josh.
That's
and
a
has
good
to
Cough
have
Boy.
Them.
There you go.
It was so good. I like Cough Boy. Cough Boy was my favorite part of the episode. Cough Boy. I'm Cough Boy!
I was just more like, if this kid is this high level security, because this is such a rare, he's getting out of that room a whole
no,
lot.
No, that's the kid.
Horrible hospital.
With the other kids, I also got the impression that he's the one who infected them as well.
Like, he was the one in the
playground. He got it by himself, and then he went and started infecting
I mean, potentially,
everyone.
But I'm still saying that he's getting out of that room into a public area very easily.
Because he's just that bad a kid. That's the concept, is he's just that high strung bad kid who just.
Yeah, it's a horrible hospital.
He doesn't give an F. He's out and about.
He
and
is that
it.
Kid that I worry about in the movie theaters. In
love
public,
him.
In
love
church,
him.
Anywhere
love
that's
him.
Just coughing, and I'm just like,
coughing. He's like, his parents. Oh my god,
he's not even just coughing. He doesn't even seem sick. He seems like he's deliberately like, I'm going to go cough.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Like, I'm sick.
It's
you're going to be sick too.
This is me and power right now. This he's
Squirrel Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
They brought up squirrels a lot this episode too, not just in this concept, but. Nathaniel, Greg, and Josh get stuck in this quarantine together, where it's already kind of awkward because obviously Josh and Nathaniel know kind of what was going on.
They figured.
But Greg does not at this point.
No.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like, I'm here to see Rebecca. They're both here to see Paula.
I'm going to give it up for Nathaniel, though, for being the voice of reason, the D'Artagnan of this.
Three Musketeers. I don't think people know D'Artagnan wasn't one of the Three Musketeers.
No, he was the fourth Musketeer.
Yeah, so a lot of people real life. There. And D'Artagnan was the leader. Like, he's the guy who's, like, seasoned. He's like, I'll be D'Artagnan. And I'm like, yeah, that's not
one. That's the one that was brought in.
Yeah.
And then, like, we get the man in the Iron Mask.
Athos, Parthos, and Artemis, right?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been a while since I've read it.
And then D'Artagnan.
But it was so nice to see him be the level-headed one out of two fights. And awkward is an understatement from when I watch people fight.
Well, let's get into the fighting part, because we knew that Greg had come back to West Covina and not told Rebecca. Mm-hmm. But now we find out that he also didn't tell Josh
at all.
And it took Josh a second, but he got it. He finally was like, wait.
What's going on up there? And I understand that, because when we're not around each other, guys, I miss you guys like Katie misses leggings. I love that part. That was just so good.
I mean, whose side were you more so on? Josh's or Greg's in this particular
scenario? They're both
scenario?
Right and they're both wrong.
Yeah, definitely. I think they were equal parts right and wrong. I mean, like, if you were Greg and you came back and you were still trying to fix yourself and still trying to work on yourself, the last thing you might want to do is reconnect with somebody who has such a strong history to the
enabled you a little too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
exactly.
No, but they've also been through a lot together. They were such good friends.
Right.
And he's been there to the point where, you know, Greg had had sex with the bush the whole night.
Well, and I mean, I think when we got thrust into this story.
Thrust.
They were kind of heading towards being out on the outs as friends. There was already animosity brewing up within their friendship. Yeah. So we missed out on all the good times of them as friends. So I think it's harder for us to kind of be in that mindset of like, oh yeah, they were really good friends. Like, why wouldn't
That's true. That's a great point. That's a great perspective, is we never got the connection of how they were connected. We only got the descent. And now we're kind of getting a backstory that we didn't even know really existed. Mm-hmm.
But it is true when you move away too, and you come back, being someone that has moved away and come back home, you kind of choose who you're going to see. You choose the people that
were positive
or that make an effort to stay in friendship with you, because let's not forget, it takes two people to keep a friendship going.
Also, you tend to stay friends with people who didn't sleep with your girlfriend
and then like start and trying then, to marry
exactly,
her
and then marry her and, the then altar, and then get engaged and like you tend not to stay. So the fact that these people are so civil is actually amazing,
right?
Like,
it's
I feel
a different
Greg,
breed. It's
Greg really different breed. Is a really nice person and puts up with a lot, and they're also very just civil.
Well, the thing is that Josh doesn't think of it in that way, because that's not the way his brain works.
And he's not that smart.
But it's like, I understood what Greg was saying. It's like, you know, you really hurt me, and while I'm still your friend, I still have no, like, complete animosity towards you. It was really difficult for me to try to be around you while you're being with somebody that I love.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point,
and
too.
And then when you hear Josh's side, and you know, he talks about the friendship and how long they've been together. Like, you also try to remember, you know, as many negatives that there were definitely the positives. Mm-hmm. So then, like, once again, you kind of see and you kind of even out the playing field from it all, and you could see where there was right and wrong, you know, for both of them or whatnot.
But they came to a resolution. They came to a spot where they both understood each other, I think.
After fighting, you know what was crazy, when Josh just kicked Greg in the chest. And Greg took it. First of all, I thought Josh's kick, I don't know if either one of you have actually ever been kicked, but kicks can be pretty powerful.
I've not been
kicked in the chest. Like, I've been, like, kicked in the leg.
On purpose? Someone kicked you.
Like, someone was, like, pretending to do a move, but then it just ended up...
No, I've been kicked. And the thing about it is, kicks are pretty powerful. I've also kicked someone. Like, they hurt. They're not...
Well, the leg is one of the strongest muscles.
Yeah, so the fact that he just took it on the chin, like, yo, what?
Greg got kicked, and then Josh got hit on the side of the face, ear situation.
And in real life, all know Josh beats up Greg, right?
Do we know this?
Well, he's trained...
Josh is a trained martial artist.
Well, not in this one.
Oh, you're talking about in the actors in real life.
I'm talking about if they were having, even within the set, if these two went at it.
Josh would win.
Josh should have won. Clearly, he should have won. Definitely. Just strength alone. They gave him the weakness of all those crunches. What are they for? You couldn't even throw a good punch. Punches hurt.
Yeah. But it leads us to, they kind of come to this realization. They go their separate ways, but then Rebecca meets up with Greg finally after all this time and lets him know exactly what happened, and they've agreed to like just be friends at this moment moving forward.
And told him everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Like she manned up.
She manned up about it. And I think he respected that, but he was also like, oh shit, like I can't.
Right.
Deal with this again.
Yeah.
I can't just let you go around and just.
If you're going to be mad at me and you run off and try to sleep with somebody else.
I think this is where like the predictions of us saying that she's not going to be with anyone at the end is starting because.
I don't know.
You still think?
We also get, though, now Josh is kind of having feelings for her again.
And so is Nathaniel.
Well, we've known
Nathaniel.
We knew about Nathaniel, but Josh.
And in the beginning, it's like, oh, you're doing this drain thing? Why? It sounds like you're in love with Rebecca.
I don't know. I feel like with this, by chance that now they're like, okay, so now I only have
it's a free
Josh
for all.
And Nathaniel, or Josh, Nathaniel, and Josh to deal with. It's going to go as a free-for-all, and then they're both going to lose at the end.
And you know what? Maybe I will agree that she won't be with anyone, and she works on herself, which would be great for the ending. I don't know. I would love her to be with Greg. We love Greg.
Still Team Greg. Are you still Team Greg? I haven't asked you that in a long time.
Out of the three of them, Greg is by far to me the best pick.
Mm-hmm. Out of the three of them, out of everyone, Greg could date my sister. He's the nicest. His hair is flawless.
But also just in terms of her, he fits her personality best to me.
Especially at the time and place she's with her life right now.
And the way he handled last week's situation was actually, even though she felt abandoned, he handled it properly.
Really well.
He never got upset. He never raised his voice. He never took it personal. He was very upfront. He was very communicative, and he walked away.
Even the breakup, and we got to just continue this later on at some point in time or whatnot. So yeah.
Well, let's get into our special segments. We have our songs. We got three songs in this episode. The first one being this antidepressant song and how you're not alone.
La La Land-esque.
Which we got Dr. Copian back. I love
who has a great voice.
I love Dr. Copian's voice, and I was so excited for her to be singing again.
She's been on Broadway.
Yeah, I know she's a Broadway star, but we've heard her voice, but I'll still like give it up.
Every time.
I don't like her mole on her chin, but I love
Stop
her voice.
It.
What can we not act like that's not a thing? That's a thing.
Was that Jema? That was Jema. That's his sister, and he mentioned that she had a baby. Okay. But she was in the studio before, and she's the kindest soul, by the way.
She's a wonderful person.
I felt like when she was talking to us, she was giving us a therapy session while she was here.
I love this. I loved this song for her. I think we kind of already mentioned it before, but it's just like
it was
there
very
is
good.
So many people
and it was so
on
creative
stuff like antidepressants nowadays. Like
everybody, your butcher.
I don't know about everybody.
Guy.
However,
there are a lot of more people than you suspect.
Sure.
And it's something that you don't know about people because it's not like you meet someone. They're like, hey, by the way, I take antidepressants. But when you learn it, it is a lot of more people than you maybe would expect.
As you're watching this, towards anything Josh had mentioned, you know, Jema his sister Jema had a kid, and I just realized from this clip you could see her with the kid and her husband playing in the background, singing and dancing here as well too. That was kind of nice.
I also liked that they developed in this song that you sometimes have to try a different kind of variety
just
out because
there.
It doesn't always work for everybody.
Exactly.
Are they being like, oh, well, I went through that in the beginning too. Mm-hmm. But it gets better.
It does. And something else that I'd like to point out is Nino had brought up the fact that the cast in this is very diverse, especially in this dance number right here and everyone singing. However, we see that statistically, that's not the case when it comes to the prescriptions for antidepressants, because there is in a lot of minority communities and the Black community, specifically a stigma, and a lot of people don't approach this problem or discuss it. And there is that thought process that why can't you just kick it, which is why a 100%. Lot of self-medication goes on and a lot of unfortunate alcohol and drug use. And that's something that I'd like to just point out, because even though this shows a lot of people dancing of different colors and backgrounds, which is amazing,
that's not exactly
taking antidepressants is kind of
that is a good point. Thank you for bringing that up.
That's really good. And I don't want to encourage everybody, people of color, immigrants, anybody who feels like they need to seek out that type of help or whatnot, do it. You know what I mean? I know maybe our parents or the old school immigrant
they don't
first
understand
generation
it.
Parents
they
don't
discuss
understand.
It.
Exactly.
They don't know how. But this is something we can break this habit going forward with us, ourselves, and our children.
100%.
And speak about this situation and speak about mental disorders and depression, things that are actually prevalent in every culture, in every race, no matter what.
The next song we get is the reprise for the end of the movie where Rebecca's stuck in this morgue.
Yes.
And she's surrounded by three dead Rebeccas, basically.
One with hairy feet.
and she calls out, you know, she's like, sometimes in movies there are really intense metaphors to get points across, which is what this was. It was down. You could die any day.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good song. I liked the song. It was, I don't want to use the term catchy, but it seemed like a poignant song. I don't know how to express it in a way other than saying it sounded like it would be an important song, and it kind of was.
Yeah.
It gave a great reflection of her mental state and her epiphany of who to become.
And I like that you mentioned that we got a reprise of the song because they couldn't use a Josh Groban voice, and now it's just her, so now you have this to kind of fall back on. It was a great song from the get-go, from the beginning. Or whatnot, but
I'd be a lot more freaked out if I was stuck in a morgue though.
Yeah,
with a bunch of dead.
I don't know why people are just so weird around dead people.
I don't know. I can't like explain why. Just but dead. It's like even when I go to funerals and the casket's open, it's an unsettling feeling.
It's some type of evolutionary response to danger. We do theorize that,
right?
But I've just never. It's not like most times they don't come back to life. Let them go.
And then the last song we got was the awkward fight song the between fight Greg song.
Such
and
a
Josh.
Funny song. Funny. Fu. It's interesting. I don't think a real fight between these two would go this way. It was very even keeled.
But
shouldn't
I still
have been.
Like that they tell you.
Yes.
And again, with the last song being about movies, this one too. Mm-hmm. In movies, fights look really cool. And in real life,
they're just awkward.
Very much so, it's not that.
It's not cool. It's violent. Mm-hmm. It hurts.
Right.
Punching does hurt.
It's not staged. No. We got a nice little cameo in it.
Yeah, Kat Burns cameo, which is the choreographer for
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, well.
Right? Exactly. Yes. Who's been in studio. And
look at that.
Bruce
You're
Lee.
Telling me that Josh with that kick isn't. Did you see the ripple in his muscles?
And Josh has been training Vince has been training super hard for that body, basically. And he did a crazy transformation last year and really cut down.
Yeah, he dropped a bunch of weight.
A little bunch of weight, and he leaned out crazy.
This we dude, tried to. Look up
so much.
Nino, I think you have the list. We tried to look up the references. We got three out of the four.
So there's a West Side Story.
Yes.
There's a Star Wars reference in here. And then there's Bruce Lee, one of Bruce Lee's movies. But then there's that
Enter the Last Dragon.
And then there was an action film. There's Kat right now on screen. But then there was the action hero one in the beginning, which I couldn't pinpoint what it might be, and it could just be like a regular action type of movie. But I feel like that was a scene from somewhere, and I can't pinpoint.
I'd have to see it. If we can see the beginning again,
I asked for reference from around the studio and no one got it.
That one right there, one? Josh with the
that right there. Does anyone know where that's from?
Hold on, let me.
I can't tell.
Are we getting?
Does engineer
I
know?
Think that might
Die
be
Hard.
Die Hard.
Yeah. Die Hard. Okay, there we go. Yeah, if you guys think that's Die Hard, let us know in the comments below what you guys think about those scenes referenced here in the movies or what in the show. But pretty cool. I think that was a cool little scene, little song or whatnot for them.
Unfortunately, though, with that, we are out of time.
Ooh, fast.
Really quick for news and gossip, we just wanted to let you guys know, obviously, we're off until March 8th. So that's where you can come back and find us then. Also, they finished up wrapping on
just
the show.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Rachel, all of the cast has been tweeting out about, how much they cared. Yesterday, they had their wrap party. If you go to Rachel and Donald and Champlin's Twitters, you can see photos from the wrap party. Mm-hmm. So they are done filming. Officially is.
Yeah. And if you look at some of the Instagrams and Twitters and all that or whatnot, and just them reminiscing from the past four seasons, it reminded me so much why I love this show so much as well, too. Josh put something out about this being his first serious regular show, but it also reminded me once again about the diversity and me really finally seeing somebody who looked like me, who had bits and pieces of my culture on TV, which gets me so excited to see the next last five episodes of this season.
Yeah. So we will hold our predictions. We'll try to either write them in the below or we'll just, you can tweet us and we will definitely discuss them there with you.
Social.
And where can they do that with you guys?
You can find me at I Am Tehran all across the board. That's at IAMTEHRAN. And of course, hosting a slew or paneling on bunch of AfterBuzz after shows.
You can catch me at Nino Lanero on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and all that stuff. And you can also find me here on Thursdays for X on the Beach at 7:10 p.m.
And I'm still better than Nino.
I guess so. We'll just leave it like that.
And you guys can find me at Bri, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram, as well as tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for the Into the Dark after show that we do, which is a Hulu show that comes out once a month. It's like a little mini horror film every month. And this one delves with Valentine's Day. Mm. So check that out. Until next month, guys, we'll see you later.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world. And we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.